Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan, and I'm joined by a special guest who I'll be introducing in a moment to talk about a very, very interesting sort of group and musical project, Caro Caro Benito. As usual with these things, I like to introduce these artists and help the people who listen to this podcast go through the introduction the same way I went through the introduction, which is often through the good old-fashioned just like talking to friends about this, talking about what music we kind of like and have in common. So I'm going to introduce one of my cooler friends that I have that does a lot of cool things here. This is John Humphreys. John, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm really excited to talk about my one true love, Caro Caro Benito.
Oh my God, yes, this is so good. I am so glad you are here to do this with me. I'll say that you are a director, a photographer. You're like a video editing extraordinaire, but you're just like a really good creative mind. And it's cool to meet those like kind of folks in Los Angeles that aren't actual pieces of shit. So it's good. You've worked with folks like Zach King, Tony Hawk, Luminosity. You've done like incredible stuff. And you even have a film coming out called Primal. That'll be on Amazon Prime Video by the time you listen to this podcast, but it came out on March 13th. God damn it, you are also younger than me, which like lights a fire under my ass too. So it's just amazing what you do, and I'm so glad you are on. Thanks again. So as I usually introduce people who come on the show, I kind of like to dig into what is your musical background? What got you into music, or like, just like what kind of music are you into right now? All of the above questions. Go for it.
Sure. I grew up playing music. I played piano, drums, guitar. I really couldn't get enough of it. And I really like learning more about music. I do it to this day where I'll buy sheet music to a lot of my favorite like classical composers even, and just go through and learn about what made them make that music, where it comes from culturally. I've done this since I as long as I could remember. My first like inquiry was Guns N' Roses, believe it or not. Wow. I loved looking at Slash's tab for Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, and I'd follow along while he played, and I just learned a ton through that. And over the years, that's just something that I've done for all kinds of bands, from Paramore to Frédéric Chopin, Debussy, and Caro Caro Benito. And I guess in that same vein, Death Grips as well, which is a classic. Like if you stan Caro Caro Benito, most people who love Caro Caro also love Death Grips. So I go across the board. And these days, what has been my thing? Like if I were to play anything right now, I'd probably listen to DVP by a band named Pup. It's this very angsty, pop punk kind of vibe. And I don't know, things have been feeling, I listen to music is just how I generally feel over the course of a week. And things sometimes have been feeling just like chaotic and aggressive, and just that I've been kind of floating around the past couple of weeks. So that's why I would listen to them right now, just because I love the dissonance and I love the passion in a lot of their voices. So that's what I would listen to right now. But yeah, I think music's always been a huge part of like how I make things. You know, I make movies based off of music all the time. I'd say it's like always my first, like I made this movie called Purple Eyes a while back, and my inspiration for it was Tactical Precision Disarray by Perturbator, which is a very, I don't know what to call it. It's like experimental synthwave, industrial, and just very grindy and full. Uh, And I have tinnitus, so my ears ring a lot, and like a lot of the upper register of my hearing is like completely gone. So listening to like very dissonant music like that, it feels so good to my ears.
Did that happen to you because of like going to concerts or just like listening to this sort of music over time?
I don't know. I probably can take some of that blame.
That's fair.
I've listened to music like I used to play in bands for a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's my own fault. It's my own doing, but it was worth it.
And to like go into a lot of that, you mentioned a lot of different contemporaries to Cara Cara Bonito there. You mentioned Death Grips in there. I think a lot of people could compare 100 Gex. For those people who are like, what is this? What are we doing here? We're kind of going into what I used to call kind of glitch pop, what is now kind of being coined as hyper pop. But there's a number of different like forms in which this is kind of coming to be known as, and where you have like all these different like younger artists coming together, bringing aspects of indie and pop, but usually kind of reinventing pop in this way that's a little bit subversive, kind of chaotic and electronic in its way, but can also be really beautiful in other ways as well, right? I'm a big fan of it. I think for a lot of people, like my co-host Sean especially, it's a little bit harder to get into, but I think Cara Cara Bonito is a really nice way to kind of jump in and get a start into it, because them as a band, as a project, they're based in London and they're from London, essentially. They kind of like cover the wide range. One of the best parts of the hyperpop genre, I think, is that it's pulling from so many different genres at once and elevating them, pushing them to their limits, oftentimes satirizing tropes within the genres. And so it makes for a really like proper, interesting listen compared to a lot of other like, you know, bland things from only pop or only rock or only alternative that we like lambast on Audioface all the time. So I'm like, Cara Cara Bonito, I didn't know what to think of going into when I was like listening to them as you introduced me to them. But there's a full range and there's definitely something for everyone. So to start with, like, I can go into this to some extent, but like, what do you know about Cara Cara Bonito and like how they kind of start and began?
Sure. But they're such a weird combination of people. And they met online on a forum where the two producers of all their music, Gus and Jamie, they were looking for female vocals who could rap in Japanese. And from the woodwork came this incredibly interesting woman named Sarah Midori Perry. And she's kind of mysterious, I think. She's very interesting in her art. She does visual art as well as music, and it's all very, colorful, but like has a magnitude to everything that she does. And so they just decided to start making their first album, Intro Bonito, which is like, it has like a lot of elements of rap and almost like bedroom pop. Mm-hmm. Like everything sounds like it was made on GarageBand on like an iPod Touch in 2008. It's got this weird, just distance, I guess. And it's a wild album because it sounds so innocent. It almost sounds like a kids bop album. And then Sarah starts saying that like the only thing that humans ever did right was create hatred. And you're like, where did that come from? You know? Or she talks about killing dogs twice. She has like two raps, one in English and then way later in Japanese in the same album, two different tracks about killing dogs.
Yeah, I want to get into that. This is so funny because like the first song in a Bonito intro kind of like gets you into this, and it's reminiscent of definitely the sound I think the two boys were looking for, which is this bubblegum pop Japanese sound.
Yeah.
But that kind of being the beginning overlay to, in a pre-hyperpop kind of context, deconstruct and kind of mess around with. I think one of the really early, like, kind of fun ones is Sick Beat, where you see this happening in a way that I think is also very palatable for people to get into. It's got, like, a nice sort of, like, bassy line to it in the background. It grooves. It got a nice tone to it.
No matter how many hours a day, I could win at any game. With a real boy or a girl or a supercomputer, it's often said I should get some girly hobbies instead.
And you've also got kind of the playful lyrics that are self-referential. Not like the most profound things happening there, but definitely things that like definitely make you do double takes, like you were describing earlier. Again, in the middle of the album, there's the song Cat Versus Dog you were describing earlier, which is meant to be like this cat versus dog rap that I personally like better in Japanese, but you can hear the English version just to hear how kind of it's a beat down back and forth kind of deal.
I wanna murder moggies all around the world. I'll bite you in the head till you're dead. Brains everywhere, but I won't care. I'll be hanging with my bitches, enjoying the riches of a multi-sensory life. Man's best friend is a dog, not a feline. Homo sapiens got one thing right.
Like, it's just like really interesting the amount of noises that are put in here. And I also see this like in the context of music more broadly. I think I do tend to center things a lot around gorillas because I think they've influenced a lot of artists contemporarily. But when they took the turn in 2010 to Plastic Beach, where they said, okay, we're going to completely rework our sound. It's not going to be this alternative rock kind of deal. We're actually going to do something that is a little more framed in as electronic and synthetic as we can possibly make it, pushing it to the limits. And I think a lot of artists kind of like took that idea and ran with it. This coming out 4 years later after Plastic Beach, I felt listening to it kind of like the zaniness, the weirdness, that a lot of that aesthetic down to the way the drums kind of punch. It's very similar to the way like Damon Albarn would produce kind of things. And seeing that these are like two dudes growing up in England, I'm sure the Damon Albarn influence is there to some extent.
Sure.
But like,
sure.
The entire album's really good. Are there any other like kind of picks from it that you like just really like?
Wait, let me take a look at. There's a couple on there. I love Cat Versus Dog just because it comes out of left field on you. Let me check. Oh, I like My Party. I think My Party is just very simple.
My party's on. My party's on, you gotta come. My party's on.
And I've seen KKB twice in concert, and the way they play this album is punk. Instead of like, there's like really, there's some electronic elements, but like Sick Beat is like they double the tempo. And everybody moshes to it. And so the way that they've kind of, they mold this album in their live performances is so cool. And so for that reason, like Sick Beat is one of my favorite songs. Pocket Crocodile is crazy live. And I'd Rather Sleep is another banger. But yeah, no, this album is odd. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy to like just listen to all the way through because they just try things. And I think that's something I always appreciate about KKB and any creative person is when they just try something new and they try something interesting that's like very true to themselves. I'm always incredibly impressed because it's just not easy to keep trying. And I don't know. I think people can really appreciate the confidence in this album. And yeah, I love it. It's great.
No, absolutely. You really encapsulated something that people who listen to Audioface all the time know I love and we love here. It's just like artists who are willing to push the boundaries and do things different within their sound. It's especially difficult for artists to do that and make such a splash in the beginning with their first and early projects. But the way they did with Intro Bonito, and then as we kind of continue on to Bonito Generation, the second like larger album we can say. And all these albums are kind of short, all within like the sub like 30 to 40 minute range. I think the first one had like 15, 16 songs, even if you count all like the versions and interludes. The second one was shorter. And I felt like Bonito Generation is to Cara Cara Bonito what like Graduation is to Kanye West in that sense, where it's like the fully fleshing out of like all of the best sounds they've gotten so far to kind of like get that out of the way before .. But I'll get to that in a moment. So going through, hopefully you've got like the song list like kind of in front of you for Bonito Generation. But I felt like, especially with Graduation, you get the same sort of continuation of the sounds that Cara Cara Bonito starts with like, and the tone of like way of presenting the lyrics. Like a lot of it's just like presented to her parents about growing up and changing life, but also kind of expecting more from life after growing up.
My dissertation, even got a high.
really big coming of age kind of record that I found.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of, on this album that, like, most of the songs in this album are like bangers. Like, I don't think there's a single one on here that I would like write off. This one's been particularly influential on me, actually, just because it's really simple, or the melodies are simple, but the things that she's talking about are actually very complicated. And I tend to complicate things in my own mind. I mean, like a lot of people do that.
I agree. I agree in the sense that, like, I also complicate things in my head too. So I think a lot of people can relate. But yeah, you're saying the way she explores.
Yeah. But the way she explores something as complicated as like graduating, and she just talks about like the first thing she talks about is like, hey, I get a hat. And I there's something really like
humanizing.
That perspective is so it's like this childlike wonder, and it's kind of rare, and it's something that I like to be reminded of sometimes. And like Big City, that's another one that I can really relate to, just because we all moved to LA, we all move on, and stuff like that. And then in this album, they have some of their best bangers ever. Like Lip Slap is just straight fire.
Yeah,
whenever they play that,
Lip Slap, I know they gotta be good.
So good. It's just such a combination of like everything that KKB is, where it's like this like European like rave with like Japanese, a lot of Japanese influence. It's just so fun. I always like, if I listen to this album, I pretty much hit Lip Slap first.
Yeah, and when I found that I was going back to listen to this record, Lip Slap was one of the first ones that I was going to as well. And as a fan of like the late Sophie, who just passed and was like a really big like pioneer for hyperpop and the genre, continuing it around this time as well, so the early 2013s, 14s, etc. Lip Slap sounds very reminiscent of some of the early Sophie songs that are very like over poppy, like over electrical, playing with a lot of sound effects in a comedic way. Like I really love that stuff because it's like almost like a runway glam with a little bit of like a little bit of like emotion, a little bit of like fire to it. Like I really appreciate the energy that comes in songs like that. And there's really like surprisingly profound things. I think the way you describe, she takes little aspects of the world and adds whimsy and wonder to them, like a trampoline.
I'm saving the knowledge, no matter what I got, my old trampoline. First you fall down, then you jump back up again. Find your rhythm, momentum is the key. It's so easy, anyone can trampoline. So jump in up and you can see the whole wide world. When you're ready, mix it up, try everything. Full twist, backflip, just set your body
free. It's kind of talking about, oh, there's this trampoline in my backyard, but then it devolves into these metaphors about life and existence that you can enjoy in a lot of different ways, like either for the deep ways or just for the, they're talking about jumping on a trampoline. It can be like cool for a movie scenario or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a really, again, I see some Gorillaz influences in that as well. Not to say that's a bad thing, to say that's like really awesome that people are taking that idea of music can be really are so artistically meaningful, then it can be a number of things at once.
Yeah, actually, I listened to Trampoline for like 3 months, and then I played it for a couple friends, and then they were like, wow, I really like the way this song is about getting, you know, back up in life. Like, you know, when you have a down, you're going to have an up. And I was like, it's not about that. And I was like, wait a minute, it is. Like, they have these like metaphors that could be so hidden that you don't even realize what it's about until like way later down the road. That's kind of crazy. And I really appreciate it. There's so many different ways to listen to one thing. And that's pretty wild to me. I don't know how somebody does that. I think it's in the simplicity. It almost feels so simple that you're like, there's no way they're capable of like meaning that much. And then when you do listen close, you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Well, it's something that like to sidetrack it just from like observing you in different like working situations that I sometimes wonder how in the creative process you think about or like you or in a general person, especially when it comes to filmmaking, would think about putting metaphors inside of stories that might just be like, oh, you look at this and this is like a horror film, or this is a drama, or this is a comedy. But it's so much deeper. Usually cover these different topics. And I think that usually comes from, and it's indicative of, the artist really taking time to think about and pore over the song over and over and over again. It shows like a thought process to the music and to the filmmaking or to the art more broadly that not all artists do, honestly. Like a lot of artists just like, oh, that beat's real nice. I'll just freestyle or come up with something to throw that down. Maybe we'll have some like little metaphors and turns of phrase here that have double entendres. But other than that, it's just like the song is what it is. And there's beauty in that simplicity as well. But to put so many layers and layers and layers, not only just in the production of the music, but in the lyrics. I think that's just something to kind of like be amazed with.
And to add on to that, between Intro Bonito and Bonito Generation, between that, they had a song called Flamingo, which was like one of the biggest single that they've come out with. Flamingo, 意味不明だけど面白いでしょ虹色に染まった世界今日も地球のどこかでエビをむしゃむしゃ食べてフラミンゴはピンク色に染まっていくぜ 1,2,3 And it's half in English and half in Japanese. And that's how Sarah is half British, half Japanese. So she can speak both languages. And you don't understand the song if you don't know both languages, right? But it's about being from two different places. And it's okay. Like, you're pretty either way is what she says. It's like you're pretty in both places. What's crazy is that if you don't speak Japanese and English, you don't fully know the story of the flamingo. And I was like, wow. So I think that the metaphor comes from her, how genuine she can be. And live, when you see her, she wears chains from head to toe, which seems so indicative of their like really positive. Like, that's something like Slipknot would do. But she talks about being like, I wear these chains because like I'm in control of myself and I'm the only one who controls my future. And like, she's a very real person, but being as like kind of mysterious as she is, it just comes out in her music, comes out in different ways. I just know how hard that is. And I think I just have like such an appreciation for people who could be so upfront and like fully express things through what they make. Cause that's just so hard to do. It's so hard to do, and everybody strives for it. I think Bonito Generation nails it. Like, she destroys what she's trying to say. You get it. I love it.
I think it's very good. And I think, like, something with Intro Bonito and Bonito Generation, they really encapsulate a certain sound, a moment in time almost, even for the band, like, as a band musically as it's going on. They have a bunch of different releases, and kind of we can toss those through you like out. We can throughout as we're kind of going through. But I picked sort of five as like pillars of when I felt like major things were happening and changing. So to me, between Bonito Generation, afterwards there was an EP called Totep. It's four songs, 11 minutes together. And you come off of Bonito Generation, you hear that, you hear like kind of like the bubblegum pop influences and the really like electronic glitzy upbeat. Up-tempo kind of songs. And then you hear a song like The One True Path, and it completely warps your idea of what Karaoke Combinado can sound like.
And Totep is actually, those are like four of my favorite songs that they've ever made. I connect to these four, like on a personal level, more than anything.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Like I'm I love working with actors. That's why I'm like a director. She has a whole song about acting. She has a whole song about the movies. And like, I don't know. I just got into KKB when this album came out. And I was like, wait, this is them? Like, I was like, this is kind of the EP that like made me stick to them. Like I listened to them like daily because of this EP. When You Know How It Is comes on, it just feels so so different from everything else. It's very like soaring. That's like the only way I would know how to describe this type of sound now. Where like there is like some very heavy rhythmic undertones, but Sarah is still light and like bouncing on top of those. I don't know. There was just something I really liked about, because I talked earlier about how much I love dissonance and like how much better it makes my ears feel when they ring. And this whole album just makes my ears feel so silky smooth. I love it. I think this was such a good direction. Totep was just a crazy step. And it's not really like something, it's not an EP people would think of when they listen, when they think about KKB. Like when I think about most people think about KKB, they think about like Charlie XCX, 100 Gex, that kind of thing.
Glitchy.
They would never.
The glitchy shit, yeah.
Yeah, glitchy. But this is just so, it's like acoustic and real and raw. It's wild. I really, it's a big deal to me. I think Totep's one of their best things they've made yet.
When I was kind of going through the discography and preparing for this episode, Totep was the one that helped kind of like solidify what I felt was Caracara Bonito being a really, really strong band. One of the bands we look for in audio phase that shows they can be dynamic and unafraid to radically rethink their sound while staying true to what makes them them, right? Like the songs you mentioned were really incredible, and the way that it can resonate as a concept around film and media and Hollywood and all those different things, it's like awesome to hear that music can do that. Like that's what music is all about. It's meant to like make us feel things, and even if it's not emotions that we are actively feeling or going through, it can put you in a different world of what someone else is seeing. It can like be another looking glass, like much like how film and like the power of our lenses, our very nice lenses that we have here for this broadcast, is that, I don't know about you, but for me, it empowers me to like be able to tell the world or illustrate the world the way I want to see it illustrated or told, right? And music is the way that can be done for other people to kind of like transform them into experiences they otherwise wouldn't have. And so seeing Caracara Bonito's ability to do that in music consistently has been a positive thing. And see them change their sound, just reinvented entirely of that, was pretty incredible too. On to their 2018 albums. This is when they came out. Totep was like an EP. And they've done shorter EPs now in audio phase parlance. We call them drops. We even have awards for these things because we think the idea of like the mini album is kind of newer, very cool. And these aren't like, oh, this is a collection of songs that we randomly like threw out there before, right? A lot of these songs, a lot of these projects may be 20, 25 minutes long, but they're as, if not more, thought out than full on albums and projects and stuff too, right? So,
they really are. And it's such a change from Bonito Generation to Totep. So it must have taken a lot of work there. Yeah. Huge.
Time and place, what did you think of it?
I think this is my favorite KKB album just because of my own tastes. And I've seen it played live the most. I think that, I don't know, that it's such a, like, if there was a fork in the road, KKB just took the complete opposite. They took the third option with this whole album. This is another one I think, like, every song talks about, it's not as clear anymore, right? Like, before they'd be like, we're going to the movies, we're gonna have some fun, we're going to the movies, we're gonna eat popcorn. And you're like, okay, sick. But this album, they're just talking more about like what it means to be outside, It's like, wow, I never thought to even think about like the essence of Outside. And like, that's the first album, the first song on the album just starts out with this long droning bass and drums and guitar, just like... In live, they play that for like 6 minutes. Yeah, in live, that's how they intro it. And they just start just with this dissonant, loud, like, and you don't really know where it's going to go. And then when she comes in, she talks about what it means to be outside and she starts counting and things just start making less sense. And so from before, when I really appreciated KKB for their simplicity and thinking about the world and simple ways, like graduation, you get a hat. Now she's just gone completely opposite direction about how complicated being outside can be. And the like the essence of the rain and how much she wants to be outside and travel becomes more complicated than it needs to be. And I get that. And I add a lot of meaning to that. And it means a lot to me that like to see a reflection of the way I think in a song. Every song is like this. One of my favorite songs from the whole album is Fly Away. Just about being on an airplane, and it's another very soaring sounding, very rhythmic and intense song, but it makes me feel like, I don't know, it makes me feel like she's overthought everything, and I get that, and I'm there with her. Here, let me make sure I don't want to highlight anything else.
Yeah, that'll allow me to jump in. So like this is the album that's going to take me the most listens to really get into, because it was, like you said, that like third fork in the road. They went for like a total almost like, I want to say Dadaist, because it's not quite absurd necessarily. It's within the realm of Caro Caro Bonito general absurdity, right? But if anything, maybe it's less absurd, like you said, a little bit more transcendental, ruminating about like thoughts and just like what it is to be present in a time and place, so to speak. So again, they're very good with the concept albums. The thing that was trickier for me was the where they went into the production, which I wouldn't necessarily say is a step back, but it's definitely a callback to the previous work they did with Intro Bonito and Bonito Generation, where it was a lot more glitchy, a lot more electronic in some ways, but it did make a good use of the shift that Totep did, where it was paired back, slower sometimes, a little bit more introspective at other times. I don't want to make a judgment as much as I would like on an album review kind of context or way, because I need to listen to it more. Sure. And it's like there's so much going on with KKB and what they're doing that I don't know if they're suffering from like a Sufjan Stevens kind of thing of they have a lot going on and they're putting it all together and it's just much. It's all not bad, but it's just much. I don't even think it's that. I think it's just, it takes a lot of listens to really understand the layers and get the pieces going together. But this isn't, it's not a step, I wouldn't say it's a step backwards. It wouldn't feel like as big of a step forwards as Totep did. It's a step like sideways and a little bit up, right? Like it's an interesting like kind of movement. And I like that. I think that that's a bold to do that. And I think they stuck the landing on it more or less.
Yeah, I'm looking at the songs now. A good example is Make Believe. It's like a song about like your imagination getting away with you. And they switch in between this like really chill, like what it means to daydream versus like actually creating. And it's very chaotic at that point in the song. There's just so many layers to this where like before all their songs were layered in irony. This is just layered in like really hard to understand lyrics. But I'm somebody who enjoys that just because I don't know. I feel like I can just apply whatever my own perception is. And you said that it's a lot about being in like just one single time and place. It's the album is called Time and Place. You know, it's about living like in these single moments. There's something so not like I can't really grasp that as much. I really like it.
I mean,
I listened to this album the most for sure because of it. You know,
it's
weird.
It's something that I have through lockdowns and because there have been things that have been closed, I haven't been able to go out and see friends such as yourself as much as I would like to or usually do. Learning to appreciate little moments by myself of just like being outside with nature of like, there's not really anything particularly exciting or attention grabbing going on as like there would be on the phone all the time at like an endless sort of level amount, especially during the last 4 years. But there's just like almost appreciating the antithesis of that, the sometimes silence or just like the continuation of a certain noise, whether it's birds or traffic in the distance or something like that. Like it's learning to sit in those moments. It's like the basis of meditation even. It's been a gift, I'd say, is something I've started to kind of pick up over the past like couple months, at least for like my mental health and sanity. But I think it's good to have like different reminders in an album form, right? Think about those moments, like to have meaning and pile a lot of meaning into those moments. And I think no better artist and group than Caro Caro Bonito to kind of go down that like route, right?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Because what's crazy is that she doesn't just explore like there's like something that you said kind of reminds me of like the neutrality of it all. Like her song about swimming is so, it's just so chill. It's so relaxed. It's just there in the moment, appreciating something as small as like, just like a wave. Oh, look, there's a wave. Like, I'm just here. I'm just chilling. It's not like a rush to go on to the next thing. It's just a great reminder. The song about the dump. She has a song just about there's a guy who points to where you're supposed to put your trash. That's how she opens the song. And I'm like, it's crazy that she's recognizing that. It's crazy that she's noticing that there's a guy who's like, hey, go put your stuff on the top right here. And she sings a song about that guy. And a lot of artists don't really pay attention to those things. That's like almost like a cinema verite or something where they're like all watching from afar. You know, it's like a people watching album and there's elements of that in here. Just kind of insane.
Yeah.
Very, very wild and interesting. And I like it. I think Sarah's really she started streaming on Twitch.
No,
did you know that?
I mean, thank God. Thank God more people should get into the Twitch game. I mean, like, more good people should get into the Twitch game. No evildoers here. Let's just make Twitch an awesome platform if we can.
But she's so, like, the way she just exists is very unplaceable. Like, I can never tell if she's actually happy or if she's, like pretending or something. It's like this crazy distance that she has, even when because she's very rarely like, I feel like giving a context about who Sarah is kind of gives a good explanation of how these songs came to be, because she'll go live on Instagram for like 2 hours of just her eyes with these purple contacts in and not say anything to anybody and just kind of like sit there and it's like, like, what am I supposed to be gathering from what she's saying? And it's like, dude, she's a very, like, was a very just a different person. And it just it's inspiring to me that she can be that upfront about it. Because sometimes, like, I don't know, there have been times, I think this is just true for everybody in general. There's times you just feel out of place. There's times you just feel like, you know, you're that weird kid in the back of class. And it's like Sarah is that, and she's just the aesthetic of that. It just bites it fully. And I never know if she's like kidding or if it's like real or if it's – I can't discern – if there's any levels of irony about it at all, and I don't think we're supposed to ever know. There's something comforting about it in a weird way. I know that sounds strange, but you just feel so out of place sometimes, and you feel so like.
I mean,
I don't know, just not good. To me,
I think that a lot of where that comes from and where that makes sense is around the persona of the artist, right? And where they figure out, like, what their relationship to, yeah, like, what is their relationship to the art and to the audience going to be? Because I think, like, most artists, like, love their audience and adore their audience, but there's a manner to fame at which it can be all-consuming, or you highlight the negatives more than the positives, and it just, like, becomes an imbalance. And so I think having a live event where you're sharing silence, in a way, is not only an interaction that you can imagine for the person themselves, and like what, and like Sarah, right? I'm bad with names. But yeah, it's not something you can really imagine for Sarah herself, but something you can imagine for the audience. It's like, you're talking, you're thinking, you're all having this reaction together, a communal reaction of silence. And then maybe that becomes like a group thing. Like, I don't know how many people just had the stream on, weren't paying attention to the chat, and like were having their own form of enjoying the silence, meditating along with her. Like, that's, it's a really... Again, there's so many different layers of how you're trying to transcend the experience of fame that you can also experience with as an audience, which is really cool. And so
and what's crazy about, because we're talking about like artists, her audience is what you would think is like 12-year-old Japanese girls. Her audience is mostly like college-age men. Which I find every time I go to her concerts, I'm amazed by how many guys there are that are just like me. And I'm like, wow, like I always expected it to be more, I don't know, like her base to be younger for sure, or like more feminine in some ways, but is very male dominated in this interesting way, because her songs are like, it's like Sick Beat, for example, is about being a girl who plays video games. And there are like men screaming those lyrics, and I'm like, where I don't have an answer for this. This is just a question I'm posing. It's like, how is she connecting to that specific audience when you would never assume that they would have something all together? Does that make sense? That's something I've never understood about the appeal of KKB. Is it appeals to like young men? Question mark?
Right.
Like Death Grips and KKB have a shared thing.
I think a lot of it is like the sound of hyperpop. And I think that is maybe changing with some like younger generations, at least on if what online forums and things are to be believed. And like fan bases, it seems like it is starting to skew younger soon. So maybe we'll be starting to see those and like complain about those at concerts. But I mean, in all seriousness, the expanding audience and it transcending different ages is amazing what's for. But I think there's something to be said about continuing the mystique of the artist and having that be, this can be applicable music that you can apply in all those sort of situations. To me, it's all kind of shows the consistency of the artist kind of more broadly, which doesn't take away from how thoughtfully crafted the whole project is. In fact, it adds to it that it's been sort of that consistent over time, even though it's going through a bunch of different sounds.
Yeah.
Like more recently, so now there's a Civilization series. Civilization 2 is going to be an EP, like a shorter drop that's coming out later this year in 2021. I was recording this originally. But Civilization 1 was released in 2019 with 3 songs, totaling just over 12 and a half minutes. And it was, I think, my sort of complaints, let's say, with Time and Place on the first listen, with not feeling how well it combined a new sound while moving KKB forward, I felt like Civilization 1 does that really nicely, where it feels like almost a dreamscape kind of place where the music is putting you in. It's adventurous. You're pushing all the sounds forward and into new different directions in ways that, like, I was kind of like, am still surprised that with each sort of new project, they can reinvent while keeping that same ethos kind of at their core really well together. You really kind of hear it through battle lines for sure.
Yeah, and I really like the instrumentation that they're choosing. It's such a wide range of a lot of traditional Japanese sounds with like a lot of, you know, instruments that we know more common in the West, but they all are using like very pentatonic very Eastern sounding sounds, which I think is really cool that they're like trying to combine everything, and they're trying to almost, I don't know if you saw the music video for When the Fire Comes, but it's like they're trying to push like a fantasy world instead of like being in the world that we live in. That's kind of how I perceive it. I think it's based off of our world, but I really love sci-fi, and I feel like that they're kind of pushing like a different world. Maybe I'm kind of getting ahead of, like, because I'm kind of mentioning this Princess in the Clock or something. Wait,
that is the title of it, right? You're absolutely correct. We'll put a pin in that and come back to it later so we can finish off talking about this project. But I think that is, you know, a lot of artists do get to a point where not only do they want to imagine a new world and talk about it in a new song, or talk about it in one song individually that becomes a famous song, about imagining things that artists sing in TikTok videos from their ivory towers as the world burns. But like there that was an incredible part of last year. There's so many incredible bits of last year that like, because like through trauma memory, I'm just like forgetting, and then they come back to me at random times and I'm like, oh, that was wild. But anyways, solidarity, brother. There's definitely an aspect to it where it feels like the next step where artists go is true world building, where you build a concept album around this new world. And what are the properties of this new world? How does it work? How do people interact with it? How does one interact with it with the self? And I think it's really useful for a band like KKB to be able to having this experience of exploring the self and everything around the self and all the interactions of the self surprisingly thoroughly, considering the first glance kind of passover view of them. They seem to be like, this is the next step. It's like, okay, let's just build the world now and establish this sort of like ongoing project to it that, like, again, like you said, in the music video gets illustrated a little bit more. You've also mentioned a little bit about their music videos. And I've seen like a couple of them. They're like pretty vividly designed, you would say. If you want to, maybe like spend a little bit about that before we round it out.
Sure. Their music videos all reflect any given sound that it is, right? So Time and Place are the completely different videos than like Bonito Generation. I mean, that makes total sense, but like the difference is astounding. Like Bonito Generation was like highly produced studio work from like a label, like very, you know, smooth camera movement, a lot of face makeup from Sarah. And then Time and Place, they switched to like this grimy, like I have this thing right now where I love music videos that are female led indie pop bands doing crazy things in public, right? And that's a lot of the direction KKB went, where like all their music videos turned into like VHS footage of them getting McDonald's, and or like she was doing auditions in Only Acting. Really interesting. Like I really love the genuine, because it kind of is, it's similar to their old music videos. This music video called For Break, she sat outside and just stayed still. And that was like the whole video, right? And everybody walking past her in public is like, what is this woman doing just sitting here? It's like super weird. And then she just does it again, but with this grimy VHS tape. So they're still staying consistent with like what they did before, but the vibe is so it's crazy. I don't know. I could go in depth on how much I like. I don't want to go too far because I feel like it's I'm going to go on a tangent about Grimes. I could go on a tangent about the dough and about what I really love about this aesthetic of like being odd in these like very public situations and how like crazy the video always ends up
because
being. And just very
it goes back to that performance art, what happens when you are documenting the interactions of interactions, right? Like it's very meta from a, like a psychological filming perspective. It's really fascinating.
It's wild.
So we tapped on this just a little bit earlier about The Princess and the Clock. So Civilization 2 is the next Cara Carabino project. We will be reviewing it on an episode of Audio Face where we'll see what Sean thinks about it after I see if he can listen to them a little bit more. And The Princess and the Clock is definitely seems like it's going to continue the Civilization sound where it's definitely blending into what is now firmly hyperpop that they kind of helped to spur and continue on now. But yeah, I mean, what are kind of your thoughts on that?
I I'm just happy to get new KKB music. I was pumped. It's been a long time. They've been doing like a lot of remix stuff recently, and this is like their first original in a while. I really like, I felt like it was really approachable. Like maybe this will be like another wave of KKB fans. Cause this was more, Princess and the Clock is more, it's more electronic than, the first Civilization. I noticed that it's a lot of like splicing of Sarah's voice. And I think that like their live shows will probably be different too. Cause they played Civilization 1 with this like punk feel, which was wild because it's generally just a very electronic and like a lot of the instruments that they would need to play it, like a lot of the Japanese instruments just aren't as available or easy to like just drop in real quick. So they just played it this like full-blown punk version of Civilization 1. And I feel like with all of their new sounds of being more electronic, a little more like it reminds me a lot of Charlie XCX. Like I feel like there's like a lot of like voice modulating and a lot of just like synth and like a lot of DJ work all involved with it. So it's so different from Time and Place and so different from their other stuff just because it feels more produced, you know? Feels more electronic, which I don't mind. I think it's pretty cool. And I think that like the story that they're telling is just elevated. It's unique to what they've ever done before. So I'm excited to see. I like this song though. I think if Civilization 2 is anything like this, it's gonna be a banger. I think it's easy and fun to listen to. It's a lot less dissonant than Time and Place, which will mean more people will actually listen, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. I think kind of as you said, a lot of art can be interpreted like numerous different ways, even like the sound, like I said to everyone, like the Cara Carabino sound is not for everyone, as I said like earlier in the podcast, and by listening to it you can gain different meanings from the lyrics, but also like different subjective opinions on the sound, the way it works between album and album and album. But I think seeing overall the trajectory of how much they can incorporate all these ideas around a core ethos that makes it like a Cara Carabino branded project, but still exploring all these different sounds in such a way that you can definitely find something you like, regardless of where you sit on the spectrum of liking any one of these projects, whether it's the newer stuff or the older stuff or the stuff in between. not a lot of artists can do that. Not a lot of bands can put that together, even over the relatively short period of time that KKB have done so. And so that's definitely something to be said, and that's something to be like kind of like witnessed and appreciated from this artist as they kind of continue and grow. And I'm like super pumped to hear what they've got in store, not just with Civilization 2, but music they make in the future. Like if they go for like a proper bigger follow-up to Time and Place, or whether Civilization just becomes like a series that's like a larger thing. I'm super pumped to see like kind of the stuff they're about. So
I do have a small prediction.
Yeah. Please tell me what you think it might sound like in the future. That's what we usually end these things with.
I've seen Sarah in real life do like a death metal scream. And if they drop like a heavy metal album one day, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because she does it during only acting, right before the guitar solo. I've seen it happen multiple times where she is just fully with into the mic, and it was awesome. It worked really well, and I was like, am I going to get a KKB metal album?
I just got full death grips on here. Like, just make it wild.
If they collab with Death Grips, I think it's – fans have been asking for it for a long time, and that would be a really sick, even just one song. Just one song, please. Would be
the college age male would be just so happy. Just the entire demographic would just blow up and explode.
Beside himself.
Yes. Thank you very much, John, for kind of going through this really interesting group with me, for the audience to kind of open their eyes to everything they kind of have in store and have to offer. Definitely take a look at them a second time if they hadn't already, or a first time if they hadn't already. And to just like kind of get into it and really kind of get a really deep understanding for what music can do as an art form. I think it's really fun. I love having these conversations with you like off camera in different contexts. And so being able to record this for AudioFace is really rad. And so I really appreciate it. Again, so like you can be found... where can people find you? Possibly they want to find you on your interesting social media.
My username is Blade, like the knife, Grape, like the fruit, Blade Grape on all platforms. And stay tuned, because I just like to full send and just shoot every shot that has been laid out in front of me. And I just make all that public. It's kind of fun. It's like a hobby. And in case people are wondering, I am in fact wearing chainmail. This is the new look. Here, wait. Let me prove. This is chainmail. See? Can you hear this?
Yeah,
metal?
We can see it.
Just wanted to make that clear.
That's insane. a lot of things I like about John as I'm getting to the end of this podcast. You just do you. You just do your own thing. And I just appreciate about you as a human. And you're just like ride by your own vibe, and it works out for you. But also I like that the way you kind of post things. You're like, you're not one of these like, oh, exciting things coming soon, wait up, is excited, and then you just like never do anything. You're just like quiet for a little while, and you're like, by the way, here's this awesome thing I did, no big deal. And you're quiet for a little while, and it's like, by the way, here's this film I'm launching. And it's like quiet for a little while, and you're just like, you're just no bullshit, man. Like, you just consistently come out with really quality things, and I know just like really awesome stuff's going to continue to be in your future. And so like, I'm pleasure to just like be your friend. And like I said, let's chill when this is all over. Let's make the great freeway divide and get like a burger or something.
Hey, thanks, Dan. And kind of on the other end, when we were working together at our previous job, just you always having a logical, straight and narrow mind and being able to keep me on the rails is the most helpful thing. So I'm also very appreciative of your, like, I don't know, you're just a five head, and you taught me a lot about from marketing to job expectations, things. I got a full second college degree from Dan the Man. So I'm very appreciative to know you as well. I'll take you up on burgers any day, any time.
Oh, absolutely. So, it's going to be great once we get our Bill Gates vaccines. I can't wait. So,
I can't wait.
Thank you again, John, very much for joining me. You can find AudioFace on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod, and go to youtube.com/AudioFacePod to see all of the stuff we have on YouTube. We have new videos going up just about every single week of new singles and new albums that we're reviewing. We'll definitely have more Caro Caro Benito coming up very shortly. And just subscribe helps grow the show, and you can see all the cool stuff that we're doing. Do I do too many plugs? Do I just go into like an out of body body experience as I'm talking about the things I do, as I'm just not experiencing them, almost certainly. But I appreciate the audience for being here anyways. Cheers.
And I already had COVID. Did I tell you that?
No. You had COVID?
Yeah, I ended up getting COVID by my mother. She works at the hospital, brought it back home, and I was like, oh boy. So, a little free vaccination. That's how I like to think of it. Like to stay positive. It was uncomfortable, though. I was like, well, I felt the pandemic. Wasn't the worst, but it certainly was not ideal.
You got a story to tell your grandkids, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's my walked uphill both ways of school. I'm like, oh yeah, did you survive a pandemic?
And they'll be like, yeah, bitch, three.
Yeah, oh no, Dad, no.